to us and letting us be here. Don't take any of that for granted, traveling grace or anything. As we look in the Word of God in Revelation chapter 20, as you'll notice, and as we look at this chapter, the theme of this chapter is consummation. As God's bringing things to a close, the key verse was verse 1, where it says, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." He's going to loose the devil. He's loose for a season. And then we saw everything that happens with the Battle of Armageddon last week. We pick up in verse 11 tonight. As you're turning to your place there, we're looking at 15 verses, 477 words, all inspired by God and preserved forever in our King James Bible. Picking up at verse 11, we see the Bible says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." As we look at this passage of Scripture tonight, and here in this Bible prophecy series, we look tonight at the final judgment. The final judgment. There are seven judgments in the Bible, but this is the very last one. This is the one in which everybody who has rejected Jesus Christ shows up at, and their attempt to explain themselves as a good person, they'll be presented evidence here, and we're going to look at all that evidence tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray, God, that you'll touch us, Lord God, that you'll help us from on high. Lord, we pray, God, that you'll do a great work in our hearts and lives and help us, Lord God, to see the great truths from Scripture. I pray you'd help me while I preach tonight. Help me, Lord, to preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. I pray, God, for everyone listening, God, Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." And I pray, God, that you'll move tonight, God, that you'll touch hearts and lives. And Lord, we pray, God, that you'll be with us tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray and for his sake. Amen. As we look tonight at some truths about this great white throne judgment, this is one of the most serious places in the Bible about judgment. There is no more "I can run to Jesus" at this point. Everyone who shows up here, starting at verse 11, everyone who shows up at this judgment, this is it. They're finally going to get their day in court, as people would say. And if you look in verse 11, the first truth about this great white throne judgment is, it says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." If you notice that word "him," the first truth about this judgment is that there will be a powerful judge. That powerful judge is the judge that's going to determine the fate of everyone there. They have risked all by saying no to Jesus Christ, and they're determined that they'll have enough good works, and that those good works will line up, and there'll be enough that they'll get to go to heaven on those good works. I know a lot of people tonight who says, "Well, there's hypocrites in church." There will be no hypocrites at this judgment. You know why? Everyone will be at this judgment. I find out that there will be no lies told at this judgment, because God's going to reveal all of it from truth and let them see every bit of evidence from the day they took their first breath until the moment they took their last. All will be brought into account. You'll notice about the powerful judge, it says it's him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heavens fled away. At one time, the world welcomed this face. At creation, the sons of God, and they smiled on this face. And we see that they sang praise to him in chapter 5 of this very book. But now there's no singing going on. Now there is no, "We're going to have a party in hell." There is no, "We're going to do what we want to do until we die, and then we'll, make a profession right before we die." There is none of that here. Because everyone that shows up in front of this judge is supposed to be there. I noticed that not only is there a powerful judge, but if you'll notice in verse 12, he said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And as we look at the small and great standing there, I notice a second truth about this judgment that you cannot escape, and that is the fact that there will be people judged. You ever heard somebody come along and say, don't you judge me? Okay. But you won't say that here.
Amen.
If somebody don't come around and tell you, listen, if they don't make a judgment call on you, whether you're saved or lost, and try to win you to Jesus Christ, yet that's your best friend that's trying to do that to you. But when we get to this judgment, there are no more friends. And it says there about the books were opened. And these books that were open are the books in this judgment. And if you'll notice, the small and great, they stand before God. The books were open, and those books are the books of the law. You'll notice that there'll be 66 books in this judgment that will come up. When somebody says, well, I believe that God created the heaven and earth, but I think he used 1 million years to do it in. You will be judged on that thought. You will be judged on what you thought about that. Listen, you die without Christ, you face the entire book. And you face the fact from creation to consummation, everything you've said, done, and did, every word you've spoken, every thought you had comes up with this judgment. When somebody says, well, we're BFFs for life, I would never say nothing behind your back, every word will be brought up at this judgment. Every last thought you've had about everyone in your life will be at this judgment. Not only will they see and hear what you said, they'll be there to see and hear what you say.
Yeah.
It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, because Jesus Christ that sits on this throne is sitting there with the books open, and those books are evidence. You know, I've heard all my life, well, little Johnny shouldn't be in jail because he didn't really do it. He is with bad people. We're going to find out if Johnny was the bad person or they were.
Yep.
We're going to find out at this judgment whether or not you got treated fairly in life, because everything's going to be brought into account. The saddest thing about this, about the people being judged here, is the books of the law that come up. I can hear people now saying it now. Well, I didn't believe in tithing. God will say, well, according to my book, I believed in it and you should have been doing it. And you say, preacher, do you think God will judge a lost man for tithing? I even think God will bless a lost man for tithing.
Amen.
And whether you believe that or agree with me or not, don't matter. But at this judgment, he's going to count for every dime. Can you imagine being at this judgment, being a 65-year-old man or woman dying at that age, sitting at this judgment, and all your birthday money from your child all the way to the time you die, everything come into your hand, God said, I'm going to require 10% of it, and you have to look at God and say, well, I didn't believe in that. Can you hear people saying this? Well, there was hypocrites down at the church. Well, here's a book of attendance. You didn't go to my church. Well, Lord, I didn't like them people. Well, I never said you had to like them. You didn't go there because you liked them. You're supposed to go there because you love me.
Yeah.
Well, Lord, here's the attendance records. It's amazing when you get to talking about the essential things of stuff like this, how you hear, when that stuff starts coming up, or you either hear the devil in your head saying, well, you know, every word in the Bible is not true. You know, God, yeah, I know. He said at the beginning, too, in Genesis chapter 3, look what a mess it's got us into. And everybody who dies at this judgment, sin this judgment, the Bible's plain about this stuff. It lets us know that the people judged are judged fairly. I have seen cases, and you've probably seen them too, where people go into court. The prosecution barely has enough evidence to convict a gnat to have wings, or a horse to have hooves. I mean, listen, they barely have enough evidence, but yet that person gets the book thrown at them. Then you see a guy come in there and they have clear evidence, and this looks like it's an open shut case, and the judge nails that thing down and says, not guilty, next case. But this judgment won't work like that, because all the evidence will be there. There'll be no lost evidence on the way to trial, because it's been being written down right now as you sit here. It says about the books were opened, and watch this, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the books in this judgment, you got the books of the law on one side and the book of life on the other. And what we find is that God will call out to find out whose name was written in that book. Either the name was there or it is not there. The record in the book of life is this. It's not whether your name was written down, erased, or some garbage like that like people believe. Because listen, unlike your ink pen, this one don't have invisible ink. Unlike your pencil, this one don't have an eraser. If your name's written in that book of life, it's there.
Yeah.
And all it's going to matter is whether your name is in that book. If your name's in that book, you don't appear at this judgment. But when people appeal to the conscience and the mercy of the judge, he's going to appeal to that book of life. I notice that the basis of this judgment, he says in verse 12, he said the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. He deals with the actual works of lost people. He deals with everything they've done. You ever heard somebody tell you, well, what God's going to do with me? Me and him's got this special agreement. And me and Jesus have our own thing. I think that's a popular song I hear at the gas station every time I'm up. And he said they're going to have a scale up there. And God's going to put all my bad things I've done and said on this side and all my good things. And it's going to just get by just like I did in high school. Instead of failing with a 55 like you're supposed to, that teacher's going to write 70 on there to get you out of there because she don't want to see you no more.
Amen.
That ain't how that works, this judgment. Because see, all of it will be there. And it's not going to tilt like this at all. It's going to be more like this. And the reason I say that, if your entire life consisted of good works, and that's all you ever done from the time you were born to the time you died, if you rejected Jesus Christ, that'll tilt against you right there.
Yep.
See, there's not going to be saved people judged at this judgment. This is the one you've been waiting for. This is the, I do good things. I give to the homeless. I do this. You give to con artists sometimes when you do that. Well, I help an old lady change a tire. Bless your heart. It'll be over here. But if you reject Christ, it's still weighed down against you. And I notice here he says this. We're not only looking at the actual works of lost people, but we're looking at the actual people of lost works. There's not going to be people there that's faceless and nameless. God will call your name out, the whole universe. You'll finally get your day in court. Your name will be out there. Everyone gets to know who you are. To the introvert, that's like, oh my goodness. That's going to be bad. To the extrovert and the pride, it's going to be, now I get my day and you all will know who I am. Guess what? You won't want your name called out here. It's not going to be, well, we'll take this group of people over here where you're going to get this. No, it's individual. He's going to deal with the whole lot of it. And I read down here also in verse 14 and 15. Or excuse me, back up to verse 13 for a second. He says, and the sea gave up the dead which are in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. It said the sea gave up the dead. Why? Osama bin Laden's got to be at this judgment. He's allegedly buried at sea. Your government said he was.
Yep.
They wouldn't lie to you, would they?
Mm-hmm.
But forget him. There's people from the Titanic that's got to show up at this judgment. There's the people from other ships that have sank and been cast in the water and people's been thrown overboard and fell overboard because they got out there and they thought, I'll drink out here. There's no drinking age on the sea, and they toppled overboard one night. Too drunk to swim. And then so stupid they thought they could swim after they got out there. Do you know that only happens in movies, right? You don't swim to shore from the middle of the ocean. Had somebody tell me one time, said, you know, parts of the ocean out there, it's not as deep as you think it is. Wouldn't matter. That far out, you ain't got to worry about a shark. You got to worry about them turtles, too. There's other things out there that can eat you. And God forbid you near Australia if you fall overboard, because that's where all the great white swims, they tell me. If you find them around here, they just visit and they don't live around here. I find that there's going to be people that's in this judgment that the sea gives up. They died at sea. The boat sank. They fell over. Somebody threw them overboard, whatever. And it says also here that death and hell delivered up the dead which are in them. Death and hell. Do you realize that the only way these people show up at this judgment is that the judge unlocks the door for them to be there? The Bible says clearly in Revelation chapter 1, he's got the keys to these two things here. Death and hell. Do you realize if somebody died and went to hell and they died, the Bible says they're tormented in this flame, that they had to go through the door of death to get to hell, and they're being tormented in this flame right now while you're in this church building. They're going to burn and burn and burn, and then God says, bring death and hell up. Bring them up to me. They may have went by the way of the grave. They may have went by the way of sea. But they all went by death, and they're all in hell because they rejected his son. Now his son is their judge. And as they're all brought before him, I want to let you know something. They're not relieved of any suffering while they're there. Because at this judgment, everyone there is on fire while they're being judged. You're talking about a sight to see. This is something that you don't ever want to have to lay eyes on. From their perspective, they're being tormented in flames. Death and hell came up. Hell came up with them. They stand before God being tormented in a flame while he judges everything they did. Could it get any worse than that? He says in that verse 14, listen, we see there's a powerful judge. We see that there's people actually being judged. And then these last two verses, we see another truth there, is this will be a permanent judgment. I notice he says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. I find out in this permanent judgment that there's a reality of this judgment, and the reality is this. God closes the books on people right here. He sent his son Jesus Christ to die for the sins of the world. To those of you that have been that have asked Christ to save you, and you've been gloriously saved and born again, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. The only thing you've got to worry about this judgment is people showing up that lived around you that you never told them about Jesus. Missionaries you never even bothered to help support to go to try to reach folks about Christ. Because granted, there will be some here who will meet Christ for the first time and hear about him for the first time. As this judgment unfolds and death and hell are cast in the lake of fire, there's a reason why he's going to have to, in Revelation 21:4, he's got to wipe away all tears, because it's going to be you and I that are shedding the tears when we see people that live right beside us going off in hell because we never told them about Christ. It'll be people that you and I have sat around and joked around and talked around and never told them about Christ. Them people on your job that have no idea you even go to church by the way your mouth works at the job. That's going to be the tears at this judgment. I find out as death and hell were cast in the lake of fire in verse 14 that this is a reality that nobody will escape. But he says in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. The rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ is met with eternal punishment. There is no sentence given here. There's only judgment given. The judgment's passed, and the reason there's no sentence is because there's no end. Once they go into the lake of fire, there's no out on that thing. I watched a special one time about that prison out there outside of San Francisco, Alcatraz. And I watched them tell about how that thing couldn't be escaped. And I turned on the TV one day and there was Clint Eastwood, and he got out. True story, it was on TV. But they closed that prison down. The once inescapable fortress out there was... somebody got out. I find out that there's prisons in South Carolina, and I went to one here. I was preaching back in the 1990s, and I went there to show up to preach, and there was a 20-foot fence with razor wire on it. And about 30 yards, there was another 20-foot fence with razor wire on it. And then you go in, and before you can go in the thing, they got to open this airlock, and you got to walk in. It closes behind you. Then they open the next one. You go in there, and the guard looks at your face and makes sure you're the same guy that come down that he saw on camera up there with the other guard. And then they let you in another little airlock and close it. And then when that next one's open, there you and the convicts are. And you go out there to the little chapel out there on the yard, and you go in there and preach, or you go in the cafeteria and preach, whatever they got set up for you. One day I showed up down there, and it was all closed down. They said, you can't come in. I said, why can't I come in? They said, we're on lockdown. Somebody escaped, and we've got everything locked down until we can figure it out. I said, I know how he got out. He said, do you know the man? I said, no, but I know how he got out. He said, how'd he get out? I said, the same way I'm going in. There's only one way out of here. If there's not a fence took down and there's not a tunnel dug, then he had to come out the only door. He had to come out that one way. And that guard laughed and said, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, okay, I don't, but you know, I'm just saying. That's poor. It's cool to say, I'm just saying. So I got back in my little car and drove home, and I got a call from the chaplain the next day. He said, you caused quite a stir down here yesterday. I said, I did. I said, what'd I do? He said, you told that man how that guy escaped, and they wondered if you helped him. And then it dawned on them that you wouldn't have helped him anyway, because I wouldn't. I wouldn't even talk to the warden for him. They need to deal with that themselves. I'm there to tell them about Christ, not tell the warden about them. There's a difference. He said, but you were right. He come out that door in a laundry bag. I know laundry can be heavy sometimes, but when you throw a 200-pound bag of laundry on a truck sometimes, or carry it out a door, looks like you could hear the breathing or something. Or I mean, you know, I watched them pull a bus in there one time. They took a mirror on a thing and it's going around that thing on the bottom. Look, see if anybody's holding on up under there. You know where they saw that at? They saw that on TV. Somebody done that one time. But they come out the only way to get in. And as I look on this thing about whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire, when God puts the last one in, there's no way out because it's all shut up. Now they face eternal judgment forever and ever. By rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, by rejecting the very blood that would pay for their sins, now they've sealed their doom with God. Well, God will give me a second chance. You've been taught that by sorry teachers that let you buy too much. Well, you know, the Lord don't put people in hell exactly. You'll put yourself there at this point. Because you'll throw yourself at this judgment, and he'll let your own works judge you because you rejected Jesus Christ. I find out that he said they were cast into the lake of fire. All sins are eternally paid for here, and all accounts with God are settled on this day. Say, but wait a minute, preacher, what about Jesus? He's the judge. Remember he said, all judgment is given unto me. Now it's all going to be closed. All the books are going to be accounted for. All accounts are going to be reconciled. Everything's going to be settled at this final judgment. Let me ask you, dear friend, if you were to die today, right now, would you go to heaven? What are you basing that on? Are you basing it on how good you are? Because that'll get you at this judgment. Are you basing it on grandma had religion? I'm sure there's been many a grandma had religions. I'm sure all over the world, grandmas all over the place have religion. But let me ask you this. It ain't going to be about grandma at this judgment. It's going to be about you and what you did with Jesus. If you reject him now and say, I'll do it later, while God's tugging at the strings of your heart, you face probably going to this judgment, because that's the devil would love nothing else than you to say, I'll do it another time. I'll wait till a more convenient season. We have Bible proof that people say that. They told the Apostle Paul that. One guy said, I'll wait till have a more convenient season. Kind of funny how that season never came in. I've heard people all my life say, when I get right, I'll come to church. You'll never get right. You know why you'll never get right? Because it's just not in you. It's not in you to get right and to do well. You know why? You don't have the giver of life. You don't have Jesus Christ. You say, I know Christians that such. Hey, listen, that's the problem. You know people that don't do right. I know everybody. They don't do right. I don't do right. You don't do right. But this ain't about doing right. This is about the right that Christ done on your behalf when he paid for your sins on the cross. Either you have a blood payment or you got a bill due. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, we come to you and we pray.